always something to make you look around and say, hey, you know what? I live in a pretty great country.
President Trump is calm, on point, on his game. And unlike the last guy, he is competent and coherent.
Come on, man.
We're not bending the knee anymore. We're here to take a stand for God and country.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Live from the heartland of America and kicking off another brand new day here on the Steve Gruber Show. From the biggest foxhole of freedom, here we are fighting for you shoulder to shoulder every day. A lot of work to do. As always, as we enter the Christmas week, hope you're ready for it. Number one, three big things. More oil tankers being targeted for running illegal black market oil out of Venezuela. And the U.S. Coast Guard is done playing games. More ships could soon be in the hands of the United States. Number two, Americans could see the biggest refund checks in history come 2026. In fact, some say those checks could range in size from $11,000 to $20,000 each. Talk about one big beautiful bill, good Lord. And number three, the Democrats completely estranged from the truth. They have no place left for the heart of Americans other than just lie through their teeth about President Trump, about Republicans, about the failures of their own party. Their most recent lie is such a stretch, I can't believe the rest of the left is falling in line with this one. President Trump has some great plans for our nation's 250th anniversary next year. This is one of them. Listen.
Then from June 25th to July 10th of next year, we will host the Great American State Fair on the National Mall, featuring pavilions from all 50 states, highlighting breathtaking innovations and celebrating America's exceptional history and culture. Frankly, you'll never see anything like it, and you'll never see anything like it again. In the fall, we will host the first ever Patriot Games, an unprecedented four-day athletic event featuring the greatest high school athletes, one young man and one young woman from each state and territory. But I promise there will be no men playing in women's sports. You're not going to see that. You'll see everything but that.
Now, that sounds great to me. A bunch of healthy, strong, competitive young Americans being given a chance to showcase their talent from their home states and the nation's capital. It'll be encouraging to see the next generation excel at something they love. As you can imagine, that's not the reaction the left is having. No, they've fallen into hysterics, claiming this is exactly like the Hunger Games, a dystopian fictional contest in which men and women kill each other on television. That's honestly what they're comparing this to. Listen to this.
Is that? Donald Trump just announced the creation of the Patriot Games, an, quote, unprecedented four-day athletic event, unquote, with, quote, one young man and one young woman from each state and territory. Does that sound like something to you? Does that sound familiar to anyone? Bueller. Handmaid's Tale wasn't enough. We're also doing the Hunger Games. We're doing the Hunger Games. I still become speechless with this guy. Suzanne Collins, by the way, should sue him for copyright infringement. This is the world we live in now.
No, that's the world you live in inside your small pea brain. Be serious. You cannot actually believe, these people believe this, that high schoolers competing in the sports that they've devoted their high school careers to is the same thing as forcing your citizens to battle to the death on live stream. But yes, that's what they're all doing and going on and on about. It's not just the Twitter warriors. It's Democrat governors and mainstream media gobbling up the lies like holiday sugar cookies. We really need an intervention, and soon. Listen to this.
President Trump says 2026 is going to be a celebration of America like no other. He's announced several events marking America's 250th birthday, including the first ever Patriot Games, which will pit top high school athletes from around the country against each other. The competition is already being mocked, drawing wide comparisons to the popular book and movie, The Hunger Games. California Governor Gavin Newsom posting the famous quote, "May the odds ever be in your favor." And Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker posting this picture from the film. MS Now's Jake Traylor is at the White House for us. Do we even know what exactly the Patriot Games are?
Yeah, Chris, it's one high school boy from each state, one high school girl from each state, 100 young athletes in total dueling it out for America's 250th anniversary. This is the Patriot Games, not to, as you said, be confused with the Hunger Games, as it's kind of getting mocked online for.
Nisso and Pritzker honestly should be ashamed of themselves for framing healthy competition this way, but of course they have no shame because this is the only way they know how to play the game, dirty and dishonest. And did you notice the language of the host and the reporter pitting teenagers against each other, having them duel it out? It's not a duel. There are no shots being fired, no swords being drawn, but these pundits know exactly what they're doing when they choose divisive language like that. I mean, I guess we were pitting football teams against each other all weekend and basketball teams pitting each other. What a load of crap. I heard someone the other day say they were so ashamed of their country for hosting something like this. You're ashamed? Ashamed for what? Because there's great young athletes coming to our capital to participate in a celebration? I mean, come on. These people just lie about anything and everything. It's a matter of course. Back in Joe Biden's day, it was the border is secure. Biden is just fine. And now it's the Patriot Games are the same as killing people on live television. I mean, what? It's, seriously? That and lying about the military strikes against narco terrorists. I mean, the lies just pile on top of each other. Another lie that Secretary of State Marco Rubio is dismembering and dismantling. Here he is.
Okay, so I was part of this thing in the past as well. But you do this briefing, you answer all their questions, and then they go out and tell people, we heard nothing, we saw nothing, you know, that we were pleased with. They already had their answer before they went in, but we do them anyways. And we continue to do them. Not to mention the individual calls I've had with leaders in Congress, and I'm not going to disclose what those are. So everybody over there knows what we're doing, they know why we're doing it, and we've kept Congress fully apprised, and we'll continue to do so. Yes.
Exactly like Rubio said. The Democrats already had their narrative, already had their answers, already knew what their talking points were before they even go into these meetings. And they're going to run with it no matter what they see or hear. It doesn't matter. They don't care about the facts, reality. Just the narrative. Just the narrative that they're always spinning. Look no further than Representative Jasmine Crockett, who thinks her ticket for a Texas Senate seat is just more dishonesty. Right, here she is.
You have concerns about the president's health and his mental acuity?
No.
None whatsoever.
I had none. Now, granted, I didn't see Joe Biden every single day, but I did have an opportunity to interact with the president. I never had a concern. If there's anyone that I am concerned about their mental acuity, it is the current occupant.
How about dumber than a box of Crockett's? I think that's my new term, dumber than a box of Crockett's. What's crazy to me is that some people like CNN's Jake Tapper recognize what the Democrats did over the course of the last 4 years while somehow distancing himself from the problem, even though he let them get away with it for those 4 years almost completely. Here, we'll get most of it. Go ahead.
Democrats just spent 4 years arguing that the border was fine, inflation was not a problem, and Joe Biden was up to the job. And I think that 4 years of that message was really harmful. I think there are a lot of reasons why there are crises in confidence in the news media, in Democratic Party, in institutions. And I think all of it needs to be hashed out, acknowledged, and discussed.
And it's because of you, Jake. You sat there and lied for 4 years. You covered up for it. And then you wrote a book about Joe Biden's diminished capacity as if you didn't have any idea. Remarkable, isn't it? How they will sit there, lie to you with a straight face. We've got more after the break. Oh, what do you want for Christmas? I want honest Democrats. No chance in hell. We'll be right back. Clearly, the lying is a problem. It's pathological. The mainstream media continues to join in on it as well. You know that. It's a problem. Democrats believe they found a gold mine in exploiting the Jeffrey Epstein documents, for example, even though every time we look closer at the documents and photos that are being released, there's a lot more dirt on big-name Democrats like Bill Clinton than there is anything on Donald Trump, which they keep trying to tell you, oh, Donald Trump's in there. They block out the pictures. And MSNBC needs to issue a retraction or a payout for their so-called legal reporter trying to claim that President Trump was pictured with underage victims of Jeffrey Epstein, when in reality, when they blocked out those faces, they were Hawaiian tropic models in an event at Mar-a-Lago. Listen.
But Anna, one thing that stands out to me is the people whose faces are not redacted as compared with images where we can see that the women have faces that are redacted or blurred out. That suggests to me that either the estate and or the committee believe that some of these women are either minors and or survivors of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell.
No, Democrats redacted the faces of adult suntan lotion models to fake a scandal, just like they did when they retracted Virginia Giuffre's name from those emails earlier to insinuate more wrongdoing when there was none. They want to make him responsible for things he never did and was never involved with, while taking no accountability for their own skeletons, big, ugly ones, and refusing to give him credit for what he is doing. Like I said, it was Bill Clinton that was featured heavily, heavily in the Epstein files. So bad that his wife's former running mate, Senator Tim Kaine, is calling it out. Here's another one. A $1,776 Christmas bonus for U.S. troops. These service members, who are often living on a tight budget and missing Christmases of their own, and they are ecstatic about the bonus and giving Trump credit, and the left just can't stand it. They're raining on the troops parade, which is quite the opposite of the Christmas spirit, as this guy points out. Here he is.
And you've got a bunch of Democrats in the comments who hate seeing Trump get any type of credit. Let's look at what they're saying to our troops. That is not a bonus. They just renamed the housing allowance that Congress approved. People are bought so easily. No way y'all act excited over some 1.7K. Shut up. Shut up. You guys are annoying. Again, they hate seeing Trump get credit for anything. So the fact that the troops are happy and they're dancing about a bonus and it came from Trump, oh no, we gotta mentally warp them and think that Trump isn't really trying to help them or doesn't care about them. I hate to see Trump get credit. You know that bonus, he doesn't really care about you, right? Couldn't be me being happy over a 1.7K bonus. You know that was from somewhere else that he probably wasn't supposed to take that money from, right? Again, like I said earlier, shut up. Shut up.
Nicely done. Democrats were fine with shelling out billions upon billions of dollars to Ukraine that was, well, who knows where it ended up. But they don't want our own troops to receive a little Christmas bonus, a nice one at that. They've lost the plot. They've lost the respect of true, everyday, ordinary Americans if they ever had it. And that's really what this all comes down to. The Democrats don't just disagree with President Trump or conservatives on policy. They fundamentally resent the people this country actually belongs to. They resent competition. They resent excellence. They resent patriotism. And they especially resent you, everyday Americans, who are responding positively to any of it. They can't stand the idea of young people striving, winning, representing their states with pride, because that doesn't fit the victimhood narrative that they've been selling for decades. They can't stand troops being rewarded because it reminds Americans that service still matters, sacrifice still matters, and leadership still matters. So instead of celebrating the 250th anniversary of the greatest nation on earth, they turn it into a dystopian horror movie. Instead of applauding young athletes, they accuse the president of cruelty. Instead of thanking service members, they nitpick, smear, and sneer. That's not leadership. That's bitterness. And the media, the most of them, they don't push back. They amplify it. They choose loaded language, misleading imagery, and outright falsehoods because outrage gets clicks and fear keeps their audience loyal. Truth is secondary. Context, optional. The narrative is everything here. But here's the good news. The American people see through it. They know the difference between competition and cruelty. They know the difference between patriotism and propaganda. And they know when they're being lied to. This country wasn't built by people who were afraid of excellence or ashamed of success. It was built by people who embraced challenge, honored service, and believed the next generation could be even better than the last. Democrats have lost the plot, but America, I believe, has not. And no amount of lying is going to change that. It's not. Now, this holiday season, it's almost Christmas. So this holiday season, give the gift of feeling your best with Victory Nutrition International, makers of science-backed supplements designed to power your life. Right now, you can get 20% off and free shipping on every subscription order. Forever. That's right, lock in the savings for the rest of your life, from digestion and hydration to vitality, cognition, weight support. VNI has wellness wrapped up neatly for you and your loved ones. Check out all the top-rated products, just six to choose from. They don't have 12,000 products. They have six that are well-documented, science-backed. VNI.life/Gruber. VNI.life/Gruber. Start activating your best life this holiday season. Now, got a little bit of insider baseball here. I've been told by a couple of sources here that the president is going to be officially issuing a blockade of Venezuela today and those oil tankers. The announcement's coming sometime late this afternoon from Mar-a-Lago, I'm told. This, as the president continues the pressure campaign to stop Maduro's regime from selling oil illegally on the black market for cut rates to places like Iran, China, Russia. These ghost ships, as they're called, leave port with a couple million barrels of oil, headed off into the darkness, flying flags of countries that are false. They are truly false flags. Well, today at 4:30-ish, from Mar-a-Lago, I'm told the president's going to issue this statement along with Pete Hegseth. We'll see what comes of it. We'll keep an eye on that, of course, and let you know when it does happen. Talk about it with detail tomorrow. We'll take a break and be right back. Welcome to Christmas week. Just a couple of days left, my friends. Merry Christmas, by the way. This is The Steve Gruber Show. Well, I don't know what you're seeing out there, but here's what I'm seeing. I saw gas just under $2.50 a gallon this weekend. Here in my neighborhood, Anthony was hunting for gas under $2.50 last week. Well, I found it for him. You've got that. Meanwhile, gold and silver setting all-time record highs again today already. Silver's going to break $70 here by the end of the day, possibly. Gold is over $4,400 an ounce. Continues to surge. Wish I had bought more, that's for sure. Silver could be at 75 or 100 here shortly. Silver is up 127% over the last 12 months. 127%. If you'd put your money in there, you'd more than doubled it. Who can predict these things, right? Somebody can. Meanwhile, here's a little update for the EV crowd. And I predicted this. This is so predictable. School buses in New York. EVs, mandated by law. You must have EV school buses, except they don't work. What they don't have, this time of year kind of critical, heat. Kids are getting off these buses freezing to death. Cold. Let's see here. Western New York, here's one example. Lakeshore Central School District. They operate 23 electric buses, 24 gas buses, 4 full-size diesel buses. The heaters, of course, run off the same batteries as the bus itself. And it drains the battery capacity quickly when you try to heat. Heat takes a lot of juice. You know that, of course. Parents telling the outlet they heard the last incident of buses breaking down in addition to heating issues. Kids stranded for 30 and 45 minutes because there's no backup plan. Some of those kids were upwards of 40 minutes outside. Came home from school last night. It was 23 degrees. They had no heat. He came in cold, and I told him, I said, isn't the bus warm? No, they can't put the heat on because it drains the battery. Another EV disaster. Oh, and by the way, these electric buses cost far more than a diesel version or a gasoline version. Another failure of radical activists putting our kids in danger. 23 degrees, no heat on the bus. Good grief. We'll take a break and be right back. The Steve Gruber Show. Merry Christmas, my friends. We're almost there. All right, let's jump back into it now as we head down to Christmas. Winding it out. Hope you got your shopping done. And hope you're ready for the big holiday. Looks like we're going to have a little bit of snow for Christmas. Not a full white Christmas, but not full green either. That's the way it looks right now. Here in Michigan, Mike Cox is the former attorney general. He's now a candidate for governor in Michigan. Joining me now to see if he can be the person that snags back the governor's mansion from the Democrats after 8 years of Gretchen Whitmer. Mike, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Steve. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. You know, the economy doing better in a lot of places, but Michigan, two states, always seem to run well behind everybody else, Michigan and Nevada. I mean, that's the way it is. And right now, Michigan's running worse than just about anybody else, but we've got terrible policies. We are the only state in America that I'm aware of that raised income tax last year. You've got an outside group right now angling to more than double the income tax on individuals making $500,000 or couples making $1 million. That's S corporations and LLCs. Another misguided policy that would more than double the income tax and cripple small business in Michigan. But that's the kind of stupidity we're up against, Mike, every day. What are your thoughts?
You know, every single day. Steve, I expect you're probably S corp in your company as small businessmen. And there's so many small businessmen and women across Michigan struggling because everywhere you turn, we're either overtaxed or overregulated or underserved. And, you know, I wrote a recent op-ed in the Detroit News, and I entitled it, or the catchphrase was, "You are what your record says you are," right? It's football season. Bill Parcells won a couple Super Bowls. I love the guy. They called him the Big Tuna. I don't know why they called him Big Tuna, but he used to say that. You are what your record says you are. And here in Michigan, and you just pointed out, the only state in the nation that raised our income tax for every taxpayer across the board last year. And of course, what do we see? The worst job creation record in the country. Second or third in unemployment each and every year. And that's really been Governor Whitmer's record over the past 7 years, right? We start 12 years ago, Michigan was 22nd in fourth grade reading. 22nd. We're now 48th. 48th. Flip side of that, I have my two granddaughters up from Mississippi. They're looking for snow on Christmas. I don't know if we're going to get it. But where they are in the past 12 years, they went from 49th to 9th. And so every metric you look at, every benchmark you look at, Steve, as you know, we aren't hitting them, and we're falling further and further behind. But in 2026, period of Advent, right? Matthew 1, this is all about Advent. And we got to get ready. We got to get ready for our Lord in 3 days. We have to get ready for changes in Michigan next year. And I'm going to deliver them with your viewers' help.
When you look at Michigan compared to Indiana or Ohio, there's no comparison. They have better tax policies. They spend less on their state government per capita than we do. You look at states like North Carolina, that's 500,000 people bigger. They spend $19 billion less than we do. Georgia, they spend $30 billion less than we do. Similar size states. What do we get for our return on investment here, Mike? I mean, come on. We're getting shafted.
Brother Steve, we're getting nothing, right? In the past 7 years, Governor Whitmer has increased spending by $27 billion, just shy of that. $27 billion, 45% increase. And you and I, we don't get one new service, not 1 mile of better roads. Quite frankly, and you know that because you're here in Michigan, Whitmer has been all about corporate cronyism, handing out cash. If she just would have left the $27 billion in Michigan taxpayers' pockets, we'd be booming right now. We would have a dividend that would increase economic activity, allow young couples to put money together in order to buy that new house, more money and people in fixed incomes, more money at Christmas time, and the Michigan economy would be booming. We'd be racing like Tennessee and Florida and Texas are.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I got a little carried away.
No, that's exactly right. You are exactly. Let me ask you about this. There's an initiative underway here in Michigan. I ask all the candidates about this. The move to end property tax, axmitax.org is the movement. I think they're going to have the signatures or they're close. If that would come to pass, would you support such a thing? Look, because I think seniors are pinched. They're on a fixed income. They've paid off their mortgage. And yet the property tax assessments go up year after year, forcing people out of their homes because the government will come and take your home that you've paid for if you don't pay the property tax if they continue to jack up every year. What do you think of that?
Well, Steve, I think that only points out the failure of the governor and the legislature, really a number of governors and legislatures over the past 10, 15 years in this regard. Right now, without changing the Constitution, the governor and legislature can, number one, move all millage elections to November. And you know what that would do, Steve? That would mean they can't have these crazy hidden elections where they jam us. You know, where I live in Livonia, just this past August, they tried to sneak a $150 million new bond proposal to rebuild our city hall. Our city hall is great, but everyone, local officials, wanted to have their names on it. So if I were governor right now, whether X My Tax gets on the ballot or not, I would move all millage elections to November.
But do you support it? Do you support an end of property taxes?
If it gets on the ballot, I do. But Steve, I've heard different stories than you have, and I don't want to quarrel on the Christmas.
I don't know if it's going to make it or not. I mean, I'll be honest, yeah, I don't know.
But my point, Steve, is like there are things we can do right now, right? That we don't have to change our Constitution. We can move all millage elections in November. We could provide tax relief to seniors on fixed incomes like they're trying to do in Alabama. And we could also remove all the state mills from homeowners and small farmers. I don't want to give breaks to big developers or big agri-farms. But the reality is I want to follow the model of Texas, which is they created prosperity through eliminating the income tax. And they're leading the nation because of that prosperity and reducing property taxes.
Let me ask you about this. Another headline. I only got about a minute left here. That's why I jump into this. These big data centers being proposed in small towns all over Michigan. All right. So big data centers. Look, they're going to be part of the future. They're going to be part of the economic future. But these small communities are basically getting run over by state government, saying, oh, we're going to take the land name. We're going to do what we want. We don't care. Eminent domain. Bam. What about that? What about local control?
Local control has been part of the Michigan fabric since 1837. We became a state. And Steve, you know this. You know, Governor Whitmer smashed local control as part of her Green New Scam, took away the ability to stop solar panels or zone against them or zone against wind farms. I value the power of local control. If no community doesn't want it, there will be others that want it, quite frankly. Whether it be urban cities with decayed cores like Saginaw or Flint or some small townships, they will want it. They will want the added value. And so local control should not be run over in the mantra of AI. AI is
real
the future,
quickly.
She said. Sure.
Where can people find you?
They can go to Mike Cox 2026, MikeCox 2026. And, of course, on X at Mike_Cox. And I hope they do. And I hope you and everyone else has a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, my friend. Good luck out there on the trail. We'll talk again
soon.
All right.
Thank you, sir. 2026 is going to be a great year.
All right. We'll talk about your good health after the break here on the Steve Gruber Show. All right, back to it now as we talk about your good health. I woke up a little tickle in my throat tonight, today. Hopefully we'll be all right. I'm going to hang in there because I'm, you know, always looking after ourselves here. My next guest does it for people all over the country and around the world. Peter Galluli, the CEO of the Wellness Company, joining me now. Peter, nice to see you.
Steve, thanks for having me back.
Christmas is almost here, but of course that means cold and flu season already arrived. Doctors have been warning for months now this was going to be a bad flu season. Apparently those predictions coming true. We're seeing skyrocketing rates of the seasonal flu right now. This year's dominant flu strain, apparently a more serious vaccine resistant strain. Again, tell me about this flu for this year. What are we dealing with and how did it get so bad?
Get out your bingo card, Steve, because the flu strain is H3N2.
Bingo!
Yeah. Bingo.
Yeah.
So the flu this year was not predicted by the CDC last spring when they were designing the flu vaccine. So the flu vaccine is largely ineffective for H3N2. It also started a little earlier this year than in years past, which leads people to believe that it's going to spread more widely and more quickly and lead to some severe symptoms. Now, while you see these papers that are saying that the flu is more severe than years prior, it's always very hard to calculate that, Steve. And we have to keep in mind, we're seeing a lot more people that are immunocompromised. We're seeing a lot more elderly people. We have an aging population. So it's very hard to truly compare one flu season from another. But yes, it is another flu season. And yes, there is a rising wave of hospitalizations, just like we see every winter. And no, the vaccine is not effective.
And there you have it. If your bingo card isn't right when they spin the wheel, then it does nothing. Look, I don't get the flu shot. I rely on taking care of myself, good supplements from the wellness company. Other things keep me healthy. But why does the medical establishment, when they know, they spun the wheel, and then they realize it's H3N2, had to check the number here, they realize it's not the one they picked, and yet they continue to push the flu vaccine. You go into any of these stores or walk by the pharmacy anywhere, it says, flu shots available today. For what? If it's not the right flu shot, then for what?
It's medical theater, Steve, simple as that. And look, the vaccine companies profit on every shot they put in your arm. But look, the flu shot is notoriously bad. You look at the CDC's own data going back the last 20 years, they can only claim that the flu shot is, you know, maybe moderately effective at best. If you actually study the numbers carefully, most years it's 50% at best. Some years it's closer to 25% effective because they're just guessing. They have to pick flu strains every spring so they have time to manufacture the vaccines. So they make some guesses at that time, but you know, usually those guesses are wrong. And we're seeing that play out in real time right now.
Now, you've got something at the wellness company. Doesn't surprise me. You've got a leading product, a gold standard nasal spray. I learned during COVID, of course, I got educated about viruses and where they replicate, and the biggest reservoir is in your nasal cavity. So nasal sprays can be really effective at knocking down this virus and others, correct?
We brush our teeth every single day, Steve. It's part of good hygiene, but we do nothing for our sinuses. That's where, as you pointed out, viruses incubate and replicate. And if you can just hit that every single day and wash that out the same way you would take a shower, you're going to prevent yourself from getting sick much more often. So we came out with a nasal spray. It's very gentle, has no kind of harsh chemicals like iodine in it, flushes out your sinuses, use it twice a day, morning and night. And we have a throat spray, does the same thing.
Yeah, so that's important. If prevention fails, though, what are your recommendations? If you get the flu, if you're sick, you've got medications available in places like, well, these kits that you have that I have one on my desk here. You've got it here. You've got it other places. What do you recommend if you do get sick with the flu?
Early treatment's the absolute best option, Steve. You want to be hitting your symptoms within 24 hours of experiencing them. That's how you're going to be most likely to avoid an event like a hospitalization. Have things like Tamiflu, budesonide, a nebulizer on hand. We have them all at the wellness company.
And the attack for flu would be the same as if COVID comes along or RSV, these respiratory viruses, you aggressively treat them pretty similar, right?
Yeah, really the best way is early intervention. And it's really surprising that the medical establishment doesn't really preach this. They say, oh, well, you know, take a load off, try to ride it out. That's actually kind of bad advice if you think about it, right? You don't want to give the virus time to get worse. You want to be able to attack it head on so you can avoid the severe symptoms and hospitalizations that happen when you are lined up in bed for days and days.
Yeah, take care of your good health. Peter Galluli from the Wellness Company, always appreciate seeing you, sir. Have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, and let me flag something important as we move into winter. Like he said, doctors have warned this year's flu season was going to be a rough one. Now even mainstream media outlets like Fox News reporting that a new, more virulent and severe flu strain is spreading fast in the United States. The kicker, the already ineffective flu vaccine is even less effective against the new strain, like Peter just said. What the media doesn't tell you is that Dr. Peter McCullough warned us about this weeks ago right here on this program. He's been clear this strain is more severe and unlikely to respond to the flu vaccine, which is, like he said, they spin the wheel, hope for the best, and who knows what happens. That means personal preparation matters. And that's why I trust the wellness company's two-step approach. Step one, prevention through immune defense, nasal and throat sprays, which we just talked about. Use daily to help support your body's first line of defense right where viruses enter. Step two, early treatment through the contagion emergency kit. It's much like these kits that I show you all the time. physicians prescribed antiviral options, including a nebulizer, hydroxychloroquine, and ivermectin. So treatment can start early if you get sick. And if you're not stuck in long lines or shelling out big money at urgent care during the holidays, that's good news. This isn't fear. It's common sense. So get prepared now at twc.health/Gruber. twc.health/Gruber. These kits are amazing. These kits are amazing. They have a full stock of the medications you need. Many to choose from depending on your desire and your needs. Use the promo code Gruber, you're going to save 10%, all right? twc.health/Gruber. Get ahead of the flu season with the wellness company's immune defense sprays and contagion emergency kit. Again, promo code Gruber, you'll save 10%. You'll thank me later. Trust me, I got this little tickle in my throat. I'm going to war with this in the next few minutes, all right? We're going to do that. I'll take a break and be back. It is the Steve Gruber Show. Merry Christmas. All right, so the Epstein files released on Friday, big chunks of them. A lot of redactions, a lot of complaints from the left, and it wouldn't matter. If you shot him with a silver bullet, they'd complain about the use of the projectile. But Senator Tim Kaine, remember him? He was Hillary Clinton's running mate in 2016. He said yesterday that former President Bill Clinton should address questions surrounding files linked to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Former President Bill Clinton is featured prominently in the first batch, wrote Kaine. As I was just discussing, to be very clear, NBC News does not know the full context behind these images, and simply bringing in the Epstein files doesn't imply any criminal wrongdoing. But Clinton, oh, the public an explanation for his relationship with Epstein? Yes. You know, I actually haven't tracked what President Clinton has said, and if there are unanswered questions, he should address them, and I suspect he will. Remember, it was Bill Clinton's painting that was on the wall in Epstein's Manhattan mansion. Bill Clinton in the blue dress. Remember that? First thing you see when you walked in. It just makes you think, all right, what's he having Bill Clinton? A lot, apparently. A lot. I mean, why would you have that painting up? And it was just for fun. Yeah. If you're tired of juggling powders, pills, capsules, I get it. Longevity Wellness simplifies your routine with an all-in-one nutritional shake that supports joints, brain health, digestion, immune function. Tastes great. I take it when I go to, I've got a new gym. Been going to the sauna a lot. Been working out a lot. But this thing's different. It tastes great. It's easy. Built for real life. It's built for you. If you're a kid in sports, if you're a guy like me that goes to the gym, if you're on a GLP-1 or some other serious weight loss program, this helps you maintain bone and muscle. LongevityWellness.co. LongevityWellness.co. Use the promo code Gruber for an exclusive listener discount. LongevityWellness.co. Promo code Gruber. Get that bonus, all right? And right now, there's a limited time offer. Buy one, get six extra free. One serve only. Yeah, redeem the offer. A case full of models for free. I'll be right back here on the Steve Gruber Show as we continue the conversation. YouTube, the place to be. YouTube, great place to watch the program every day.
Say, hey, you know what? I live in a pretty great country.
President Trump is calm, on point, on his game. And unlike the last guy, he is competent and coherent.
Come on, man.
We're not bending the knee anymore. We're here to take a stand for God and country.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
From the heartland of America, as we always do, fighting for you from the foxhole of freedom here on this Christmas week as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. It is the reason for the season. They can say whatever they want. It's not Happy Holidays. It's Merry Christmas, my friends. Glad to have you here. Three big things to cover this hour. Number one, 'tis the season for Democrats to scream about nativity scenes while we're in that thought. In towns large and small, but finally we're seeing people stand up and say, no, you're not shutting us down. Not for a minute. Number two, the Epstein files were all the Democrats could talk about for weeks. Well, now they're out, and the person we see the most is, we were just talking about, Bill Clinton. They're trying to ignore it, of course. And number three, how about those giant refund checks? $11,000 to $20,000, maybe more for some families. Unbelievable. I saw gas under $2.50 a gallon in the neighborhood here. I mean, that's just wonderful. Inflation dropped to 2.7%. We have a $600 billion reduction in the annual deficit already. Looks like 2026 will be even stronger for millions of Americans. Christmas and record-setting shopping could be just the beginning of the boom. Gold and silver setting all-time highs. Silver almost at $70 an ounce right now. Almost $70 an ounce. Kevin Hassett says the deficit has collapsed, and that means checks going out to the American people. Good news, right? Here he is.
Congress is going to have to send those money to those peoples. But the thing we can say is that since July, we've had a lot of positive news about the economy. We've had a couple of quarters of almost 4% growth. We've got a big government surplus, actually, running for a few months in a row. The deficit relative to last year is down by $600 billion. And so in the summer, I wasn't so sure that there was space for a check like that. But now I'm pretty sure that there is. And so I would expect that in the new year, the president will bring forth a proposal to Congress to make that happen.
So a new proposal for these, it's not necessarily coming from existing tariff revenue?
Oh, well, it could come from tariff revenue, but in the end, you know, we get taxes, we get tariffs, we get also revenue from lots of places, and then Congress decides how to spend those monies. That's an appropriation. And so this would have to be money that would be an appropriation.
Yeah, it says Congress has to do it, but the money will be there. Money will be there. Would you take a $2,000 check, Anthony? Would you take one?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about two? Would you take two?
I take two.
Take a full house.
Yeah.
Scott Bessent hammers the point home about the improving economy. Like I said, I saw gas below $2.50 a gallon over the weekend. That's all good news. Here's what the Secretary of the Treasury said.
The Biden administration created the worst inflation in 50 years, and maybe for working Americans, the worst inflation of all time. And we have pulled that number down. That Strategos Research does something called the Common Man Index. Under Biden, the accumulated inflation number, as measured by CPI, was about 20%. Their index showed 35. This year, for the first time, the Common Man Index is below the inflation index because the basket of goods for working Americans, food, gasoline, rent is coming down. So I wrote an essay March 12th, 2024, and it talked about the three I's, immigration, interest rates, and inflation. Mass unfettered immigration, depressed wages, caused housing prices to go up. President has closed the border. That is fixed. Interest rates have come down. The bond market just had the best year since 2020. Mm-hmm. And now we are working on inflation. And I expect inflation to roll down strongly next year.
Yeah, roll down strongly. And that's all good news. It is good news. One of the biggest problems that we face, of course, health care costs. Still no solution. The expanded subsidies from the COVID years put in place by the Democrats with not a single Republican vote. They're going to expire, it seems. They're going to expire, and the Democrats are ignoring good plans from the Republicans about health savings accounts, health associations where you have massive amounts of people negotiating for new opportunities, right? CNN and Fake Tapper, better known as Jake the Fake Tapper, continue to push the idea that Obamacare works. And then he gets schooled by Senator Mike Wayne Mullins of Oklahoma. Listen.
Would you be willing to allow a vote on a bill that would extend Obamacare subsidies? Would you be willing to vote for it if it was reformed in some way?
Yeah, Jake, the vote already took place, and it failed in the Senate. So that's a mute deal. However, the reforms, that wasn't part of the deal that came to the Senate floor. It was a three-year clean extension. According to GAO, which is the Governmental Accountability Act, they submitted, let's say, 100 claims. Out of 100 claims that were false claims, by the way, for insurance, using false Social Securities, false addresses, false names, 90% of them were accepted. Only a 10% cart rate. So 90% of this premium tax that they're wanting to extend at a cost of $83 billion, according to GAO and their own study, 90% are fraudulent claims. That's a huge, huge problem. And so without even having reforms to this, there's zero chance I'll even consider that. That is not us taking good care of the taxpayer dollars that are being sent to Washington, D.C.
Oklahoma's Republican Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, yeah. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time, sir.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, on CNN, I mean, you just Jake Tapper, a guy who downplayed Joe Biden's fading mental abilities, who protected the previous administration over and over again, advanced the idea that the Hunter laptop was false and the Russian collusion story was true and all that nonsense. Fake Jake. Meanwhile, on CNN, the left freaking out over the collapse of the Democrat Party. And trust me. They can take shots at the Republican Party, but at the Democrat Party, man, are they unpopular. Listen to what happens at CNN.
Democratic Party, Kate, did an autopsy on why they lost in 2024. And they are not going to release it to the public. How is this not a continuation of all of the reasons why the public doesn't trust the Democratic Party, thinks that they are...
This is laughable. So why put Democrats in a barrel? Because... The facts are Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the
18% of Americans approve of Democrats in Congress.
Listen, Republicans control the House, the Senate.
We're an equal opportunity, by the way. Television shows.
You guys are down to
I'm confused what's going on here.
You guys are down to friends, family, illegals, and health insurance executives. That's who you got right now. You need an autopsy.
Yeah, friends, family, illegals, and health insurance executives. That's your team now. Good stuff. They can't take it. I'm excited to share Patriot Mobile's Holiday 25 promotion running now through the 31st of December, New Year's Eve. When you use the promo code HOLIDAY25, you're going to get two, not one, but two free months of service with Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. We use Patriot Mobile in this house. It's been terrific for years. Great coverage, great customer care, a company that actually shares our values. Join us. Finish the year strong. Visit PatriotMobile.com. Holiday25 is your promo code. PatriotMobile.com. Holiday25. Remember, you're going to get two free months. Make sure you mention Gruber under the Where Did You Hear About Us section. If you speak to a representative, you get two free months. Faith, freedom. Patriot Mobile. Good stuff. Yeah, you want free phone coverage? There it is, my friends. All right, we'll take a break and be back with Jenny Beth Martin, the battle over health care reform on Capitol Hill, front and center. All right, well, it's been a good start to the day so far, of course. Glad to have you along for the conversation. Christmas week, it certainly is. Join me now, Jenny Beth Martin, honorary chair of the Tea Party Patriots Action. Jenny Beth, how are you today?
I am great. It's so good to be with you.
So good to have you here. So I was just talking about this. We've been talking about it for, you know, weeks now. Healthcare reform in America. Obamacare is a failure. No ifs, ands, or buts. It was a failure from the beginning. It was designed to fail. Fail it has. Democrats voted for these enhanced subsidies during COVID, giving tremendous amounts of taxpayer dollars away to more people for a system that doesn't work because it's overpriced. The price of Obamacare has outpaced regular health care premiums by multiples. So what do we need to do to get this thing back on the road?
Well, the first thing we need to do is to let these COVID-era Obamacare subsidies expire, which does not mean that people who are getting Obamacare subsidies will get no subsidy at all. It just means it reverts back to the subsidies that were originally passed with Obamacare rather than what I call the COVID-era Obamacare bailout. And you're right. Obamacare was designed to fail. It's acting exactly as it was designed to do, and it is failing. And it requires massive money from the government to prop it up and keep it going. And we cannot continue that. So that's the first thing. The next thing is that we need to, the bill that the House Republicans just passed last week is a good start to reforming healthcare. It reduces premiums by about 11%. It expands health association plans. And we need to be thinking outside the box to reform healthcare. Obamacare doesn't work. We need something that will take care of improving the quality of care that we get, improving the doctor-patient relationship, and something that reminds Americans that health insurance does not actually equate to quality care when
it comes
to your health.
That's exactly right. You know, it's interesting that 90% plus of the money that goes from insurance companies to support political candidates goes to exactly one party, the Democrats. That's because the Democrats are lining the insurance company pockets. It's interesting that, you know, people on the left applaud the assassination of a healthcare executive on the streets of New York. They applaud that, think that the guy that killed him is some sort of a hero, but at the same time demanding we keep paying the health insurance companies. How did those two things end up on the same page?
It only ends up on the same page if you have cognitive dissonance and if you just simply don't want to look at facts and you're led truly by emotion. They don't understand that. And let's be honest here, Steve. The mainstream media is not truthful with the American people. If they were, they would be explaining that the subsidies that are about to expire don't actually go to individuals receiving health insurance. They go to insurance companies. Those insurance companies are relying on the government to bail them out and to take care of them. So it creates this perverse relationship with the insurance companies and their actual customer, which is the government. We who receive insurance are no longer the customer, and we don't have choice in the matter. So it creates real problems because we're not the customer, even though we're the end user.
Yeah, there are a lot of problems here. The insurance companies fleecing American taxpayers at the direction of the United States government. You got government problems on refunding through CMS and so forth. You've got others like these big hospitals, these big corporations that'll offer 100 or more pricing points for the exact same procedure. I mean, it's bizarre. I had a man on this program here last week, just had a child. $28,000 was the insurance bill. He said, I want to pay cash. They said, oh, $2,800. Wait a second, a 90% discount for cash on the birth of a child? It either costs $28,000 to deliver a child or it costs $2,800. Why should it matter who's writing the check?
It shouldn't matter who's writing the check. And that is part of the biggest problem. There's no transparency with pricing. And because there's no transparency with pricing, there's no transparency and there's no competition. You can't go and shop around to see if you can get a better price when it comes to individual health procedures that you may be getting. And so what that man is doing, it's a way that we should all be approaching our healthcare. If it is not a life and death situation, if it's a life and death situation, you're in the ER, that's a different story. But when it comes to our healthcare, we should be able to shop for that as educated consumers, the same way we shop and put time and thought into buying a car or buying a new phone. And right now it's just, you go to the doctor, you get the price, you don't even know the cost, and you're stuck with the bill later.
Yeah.
And that is a flawed, very flawed system.
Yeah, we need free markets injected back into the system. That's done with health savings accounts. That is done with these associations. The Rand Paul example, a good one, 44 million members of Costco could get together as a bloc and go to United Healthcare or Blue Cross and say, here's what we're willing to pay. And so it's not just me fighting for myself with 44 million other people all fighting for themselves in a free-for-all. It's strength in numbers. These are both very good ideas. And yet, of course, the Democrats will tell you it's terrible when it's not. But again, 90% of the money from insurance companies when it comes to campaigns and putting money into campaign coffers, it goes to Democrats. Of course, they're going to take care of their insurance company friends. Last word to you.
Well, one other thing I would say, you're absolutely right. They're going to take care of the insurance company friends. But one other thing I think would be really important is for insurance to be portable so we're not tied to our employer, and then we can go shop for what works best for us and our families.
Yeah, there's over state lines. Over state lines.
Right, over state lines.
Yeah, that's
exactly
really important.
Right.
Really
important. A lot Jenny more Beth. Work needs to be done.
100%. Completely agree. Jenny Beth Martin, always good to see you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and to the audience. Thank you so much.
Have a lovely Christmas week. I'm going to where the snow is. I am. Going to where the snow is because why not enjoy some white Christmas? We got a little bit here. I thought we were going to get white Christmas for sure, as much snow as on the ground, but then got a little warm, a little windy. It blew off a lot of it.
You going to hit the slopes, Steve?
Yeah, with my face.
Nice.
Bam! I am getting new ski boots, Anthony. True story. How's that make you feel?
I couldn't do it.
Yes, you could.
No.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a break. We're going skiing, baby. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to it now as we dig back in. We've been telling you some real stories here recently because I feel that there's a whole host of people in this country who have their priorities upside down and backwards. We're going to get to that in a moment because we're going to have a mother of a young man who lost his life to fentanyl. We're going to talk about that at length today, so stick around for that. That's a really important topic, putting a real face on the tragedy in America. First, Bondi Beach was the place where the Jewish revelers were slaughtered. And now New South Wales Premier Chris Minns, this is in Australia, of course, said pro-Palestinian protests were unleashing something in our community that organizers of the protest cannot contain. And therefore, in the UK and Australia, they're going after free speech. Intifada chants are being outlawed. Authorities in Britain and Australia tightening restrictions on pro-Palestinian protests in response to that Islamic State-inspired slaughter on the beach in Australia. Police will be granted expanded powers to shut down unauthorized protests, while tougher hate speech laws will be introduced, including a proposed ban on the slogan, "Globalize the Intifada," will be illegal to say in the UK and Australia. The move comes shortly after UK police arrested two people in London on racially aggravated public order charges for allegedly shouting slogans invoking Intifada at a pro-Palestinian demonstration. The new restrictions part of a nationwide policy shift and a policing shift as well, which has drawn concern from some civil liberties and free speech advocates. Free speech is dead in Europe. Now, I don't agree with these folks that are screaming, "Globalize the Intifada," and some of these other things, but I do agree with free speech. It's paramount. It's the cornerstone of America. But be aware that there are people being imported into these countries that are not compatible. If they believe in Sharia law, it is not compatible with the United States Constitution at all. We are guaranteed a Republican form of government. If you want the entire Constitution to go away, that's the only way you're going to get there. The only way you're going to get there. I'll take a break. We're going to talk about those fentanyl deaths and the real impact of the scourge of deadly drugs in America after the break. On the Steve Gerber Show. All right, back to it now. We've been talking about this for a while now. Ever since the drug-running boats were being targeted by the United States military, I've lost count of how many it is now, but many, with 100 fatalities or more. As the Trump administration has decided to destroy drug-running boats coming out of South America and the Caribbean, also in the Eastern Pacific, taking these boats out. And those on the left have gone bananas, calling them war crimes and everything else. Look, 100,000 people in America will die from illicit, illegal drugs this year. Fentanyl may be the leading cause of death, but other drugs are there as well. As I've told this story before, a friend of mine lost his 19-year-old college son. 19-year-old college son, because he went out and smoked a joint last year on a weekend, just playing around, and died because it was laced with fentanyl. So when the Democrats say, well, it's just cocaine in these boats, it's not fentanyl. And that is about the weakest excuse I've ever heard. My next guest knows all too well the pain of the scourge of illegal drugs. Sue Summers lost her son, Mike. She lives in the Traverse City, Michigan area. Sue, thank you for being here on the program.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so I know this is not easy for you, but it's really important to put a human face on the suffering, because sadly, you're not unique. You're one of mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers that are going to funerals. Let's start with this question. Are the priorities right when these people are worried about who's driving drug boats?
Oh, absolutely not. They have no clue and no point of reference, which I guess is a good thing for them, but not for the rest of us.
Yeah.
They don't know what it's like to say that last goodbye to your kid.
So tell us the story of your son, Mike. Give folks the background.
Mike comes from a strong family. We're a very tight-knit family. We actually all live in the same neighborhood. When he was 14, he was at a party. He smoked pot like a lot of kids do. And a friend asked him, hey, I've got this pill. If you want to try this, it'll give you high a little longer. There was a doctor here in Traverse City that was writing scripts for kids. And that's how Mike's journey started. He hit it.
What kind
for
of pill?
Time. Pardon?
What kind of pill was it? Do you know?
It was an opioid.
An opioid pill. Oh, here, have this. It'll be fun. So he got hooked early on. And look.
Very early.
These farm parties, as they're called, PHARM, where kids go and raid mom and dad's medicine cabinet and pull out Xanax or oxycodone or whatever it is, and they pass them around, right? That happens, right? And then they get hooked, and then there's a long trail of destruction. So where did we go from there? He's 14. Go to the next step.
He's 14. He hit it and dealt with it for a long time. He, you know, graduated from Northwood University. He maintained his life as he, you know, became an adult and had a better paying job. You know, there was more cash and things slid sideways. He ended up coming home and working in a family business and, you know, still maintained his life. He told me about it probably about 5 years before we lost him. So I walked that journey with him and know how hard it was for him. His body, at the time of his death, his body was very clean. He was fighting it hard. And he had one slip up. He used Kratom, which you can buy in a gas station. We will never know if he added fentanyl to that or if the delivery person added the fentanyl. We will never know that.
Don't know where it came from.
Right. But it only took a touch because his body was so clean.
Yeah. So how old was he?
34.
So when it comes to a loss like this, and you mentioned that Traverse City lost 8 people, at least 8 that you know of, in a single month to this poison. Are there support groups? Are there people that get together? Because, look, this is a real tragedy for a tight-knit family. All live in the same neighborhood. Will never happen to us, but it does.
Right.
Doesn't it?
Right. If people looked in the window of our house, they would have no idea what was going on. I think that's the case of a lot of families. So is there a support group? I think all of us grieving moms, they call us angel moms. we all handle it differently. I wanted to fight back and defend my son. He was a great human being, and there was a lot more to him than the way we lost him. So I wanted that word to get out, and that's how I fight back. But, you know, there's a group of us moms, and we support each other. You know, we talk to middle school kids. I do PSAs locally here. So we're kind of our own support group, I guess you would say, and you lean on your family.
You know,
I think that's awesome.
I think 14, 15, 16 is where a lot of these problems are rooted. I think that what happened to you is not unusual. Some kid, they'd summertime or whatever it is, they go to a party and some, hey, smoke this, try this, do that.
Exactly.
And kids at that age, they're 10 feet tall and bulletproof. At least that's what they think, right?
Invincible. Yep, absolutely. They think they're invincible. And it's a whole different ballgame from when you and I were younger. It only takes one time. It's Russian roulette. And how to get that through to kids is it's difficult. It's challenging.
Let me ask you about that, Sue. Traverse City, like other cities and towns in Michigan now, like a lot of states, there's a weed shop on every corner.
Yeah,
it's been normalized, and children led to believe, it's just fine. Marijuana is hard on a juvenile brain. It creates bigger problems. And when you say it's not the same as when we were kids, it's not. Marijuana is infinitely stronger today than it was even just a few years ago, isn't it?
It is stronger, and you know, there's a lot of controversy about that, even within my own family. But you know, when you're buying it off the street, you don't know what it's laced with. And a simple, what we would think would be a simple thing like marijuana, can absolutely be laced with fentanyl. And you know, the kids just don't have a chance against that. I've heard so many stories from so many people up here that have reached out, and it's just tragic. You know, people that buy a pill, adults that buy a pill offline thinking that they're, you know, getting some pain relief, and they're gone. There was one man that was on the phone to his wife and said, you know, I love you, I'll talk to you. And that was it. He was gone. So it's rampant, and people look the other way. Up here in Traverse City, we're in a resort town, and I think that people don't want to talk about it. We're in a somewhat